everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Today is Thursday, February 9th. Tom, sorry to hear the news about Burt Bacharach. My goodness, what a full life. Died at 94. I loved the collaboration with Dionne Warwick. A couple of the early albums that had like Walk On By. I think that was on their first collaboration together. But, you know, his first hit was with Perry Como back in 1957, a song called Magic Moments.
He had a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And he also wrote songs that were hits for other people.
Yes, he turned
out to be hits for other people.
Yeah, what did I read that like over 100 performers covered his songs? Amazing career, Burt Bacharach. Kind of, for those of us of a certain age, kind of a soundtrack of a generation. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Proud of the fact that it's 12 years of programs all available for you. That's a lot of content. When we do our telephone interviews, we're going to do two of them today. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Pima County Supervisor Democrat representing the first supervisorial district, of which my home is located. Supervisor Rex Scott, Vice Chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, now newly elected to the Executive Committee of the County Superintendents of Arizona. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
Doing really well, Bill. Always good to talk with you and have some time with you and Tom and your listeners.
You ever get a chance to get back into the schools, the classrooms? Before you became a supervisor, you pretty much had dedicated your working life to education, hadn't you?
That's true, Bill. Yes, I was a teacher and an administrator in our public schools from 1991 until I retired in 2019, and we make contact, my staff and I do, with teachers and administrators, especially in schools in our district, but actually all around the county, to let them know that I'm happy to come in anytime and talk with kids about the work that the board does and how it impacts their daily lives. In fact, just yesterday, I was privileged to be on the campus of University High School and talk with students in senior government classes.
What did the students want to hear from you?
Well, they had just gone through a debate unit where they had formed mock political parties and had taken positions on various issues. So they wanted to talk with, well, they first wanted to get an overview of what the board does and all of the different services and supports the county provides. They didn't know that the county has over 7,000 employees, a $1.9 billion budget. And I went into great detail about some of the different services and supports that the county provides that impact their daily lives. Also talked a lot about politics and campaigning, because they had some questions about those as well. And they were extraordinarily well prepared and extraordinarily inquisitive, and it was a great day. I was there from the beginning of the day until the end, and it was reminded me of my days as a teacher, because I had a break for lunch and that was it.
There you go. All right. There's a lot on our agenda today with you. Let's plow right into it. This whole situation about a blue ribbon commission that has been proposed to look at the situation at the Pima County jail. We're talking about the adult detention facility. And I see that Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, is now put out a suggestion. I think it's 10 names that she's put forward to be on this commission.
That's correct. She got the charge from the board when we approved the creation of the commission that she had proposed to us a couple of meetings ago, and she went forward and selected a chair, a very prominent chair, former Oro Valley Police Chief Danny Sharp, and she and Chief Sharp worked together to fill out the other 9 spots on the commission. As I said, he will be the chair, and then there will also be 3 vice chairs who will head up the 3 task forces that are going to be looking at finances, facilities, and operations. And those task forces will be operating in conjunction with each other. Chief Sharp indicated that he wanted to be in attendance at all of the task force meetings, even if there will be a chair for each one of those task forces, so that they're operating in a synergistic fashion. And they're going to have 180 days to take a look at everything having to do with, as I said, facilities, finances, operations. They may make a recommendation to the board that a new jail is needed, and they also have the ability to make recommendations about improvements to the existing facility. And once they're done with that 180-day period, they'll report to Ms. Lesher, and then Ms. Lesher will make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, I want to forward promote Supervisor Scott tomorrow's program, because Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News, and myself will sit down with Sheriff Nanos here in the studio at 12:04 tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be talking with him about the situation at the jail, and he has articulated to you and your colleagues on the board back in December that this is a facility that really needs attention.
No question about it, and he has communicated with the entire board and with individual board members. He has also been gracious enough to host tours of the facility for any supervisor who is interested in doing that. I took a tour of the facility near the beginning of my tenure, and although that was before he had made his request to the board to consider a new jail, certainly the condition of the facility at that time was something that he already had concerns about, and he is supportive of the board's decision to form this commission, and his staff, along with staff from county administration, are going to be advisory to the commission.
So really, this commission will make a couple of recommendations. Obviously, they can say one choice would be this facility will need a new, a complete redo. Or there could be a fix-up possibility. I would doubt that they would come back and say nothing needs to be done. But there will then be the whole discussion about how do we pay for this, Supervisor Scott?
Exactly. And that's why, Bill, one of the 3 task forces, along with the facilities task force and operations task force, is the finances task force. And they're going to be looking at all of the different options that the board can consider if we decide to move forward with a new facility. But I want to emphasize that they could make a recommendation for a new facility, and they could also say, all right, while that new facility is being planned and constructed, here are some changes that we think need to be made to the existing facility so that it is a better place to work for the staff and a better place to be housed for the prisoners.
All right. Let me get one more topic in here. Briefly address this, please, before we talk about our favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, a bakery that is, of course, located in your supervisorial district, District 1. What about this issue about call to the audience? There was quite a ruckus the meeting before last. I guess things are pretty low key at this week's meeting, but I know when when we had Jan Lesher on the program recently, she was trying to figure out what the best path forward would be, that first of all, everyone's right to be heard would still be honored, the First Amendment, right? And what about, where are we right now on this call to the audience?
I thought the call to the audience at our most recent meeting, which was 2 days ago, went very well. I think it is extraordinarily important that we have that time on our agenda to hear from our public in with regard to issues of concern to them. I think it's also important that in any public setting that people conduct themselves with decorum and propriety, and that they not engage in any kind of personal attack against members of the board or really anybody else. I think you can express yourself and express your opinion without saying anything that is disrespectful or slanderous. And I really felt that the speakers at our last meeting, for the most part, did a really solid job of that. And our chair, Supervisor Grijalva, read the instructions that were passed by a board of supervisors back in 1997 with regard to call to the audience. She read that at our last meeting. And again, I thought it went really well, and I hope that's the case in all future meetings. It is an important time on our agenda, but I think anytime you're in a public setting, you need to be thinking about how you're conducting yourself and presenting yourself.
All right. Let's now talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. As I mentioned, this is it's homegrown in District 1, your area there, home of the Danish Kringle, and also home of the cinnamon roll that looks like a frisbee. I mean, the size of a frisbee that is, it's so delicious. So it's something you might want to consider, Supervisor, the next time you stop by and say hello to Steve and the team at Mona's.
I appreciate that, Bill. And, you know, Mona's is a great place for lunch, too. And there are a couple of sandwiches that I've had when I've been there on that rustic bread that they bake up there that is just outstanding.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. I suggest you get there early when the doors open, especially Sunday. We go up there Sunday morning, and a lot of people have the same idea. They open at 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back with Supervisor Rex Scott.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're continuing our discussion with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. And before we did the Mona's commercial, we were talking about the call to the audience. Stephanie called us on the live line, and she was involved in that meeting meeting before last where things got real contentious, and she would like to just kind of briefly explain her position. Stephanie, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for allowing me to be on, and good day to Rex Scott as well. I'm very proud of him for making great choices during the last call to the public and reserving my freedom of speech per my constitutional right. First Amendment, regarding the call to the public, I am a mother to vaccine-injured kids, so I definitely believe that we should have body sovereignty, meaning that we always have the right to choose whether we take an injection, whether it's experimental or not. And I know that there was a vote that passed vaccines, testing, PCR, everything, quarantine, mask onto the public as well onto our children. And I felt like that was definitely going against my constitutional rights, just like it goes against my constitutional rights to drive in and speak out at the call to the public. And some of the board members not showing up, and when they do, they're on their cell phone. And if I call them like they were to call me out, I've had many of my minutes taken away for not making eye contact with a specific board while turning around and including the board members in behind me. For example, their lawyer, Sam Brown, my minutes were cut. I'm having board members holding up signs. I'm having people interrupt my speech, and then they're holding me to something called a community standard when they're not holding it up to themselves. I'm kind of unique to the community. I have a loved one who was attending high school and attempted to commit suicide due to the mandates that were pushed upon our children at our school districts. Okay. And as a K-8 certified teacher, I myself will not wear a mask, and I will not be putting a mask on my children.
Okay,
and
Stephanie. So you basically, what I'm hearing you say is you're expecting courtesy from the board members, not to be looking at cell phones and things like that. You want their attention, basically, correct?
Yes, okay. Yes, sir. And in fact, during the last call to the public, one of the board members who rarely makes it to the board, he was in the back drinking Pepsi and eating bagels.
All right.
Did not even attend.
Okay, thank you so much, Stephanie. Supervisor Rex Scott, your reaction to Stephanie.
Well, my practice during call to the audience is exactly what I would expect if I were in front of the board, which is that I'm always looking at the speaker and don't have anything in front of me to distract me. I think that's what the public has a right to expect from us. And I think what, as I said before the commercial, that I think everybody should consider when they are making a statement in public is making sure that the focus is on the substance of their opinion, their expressed opinion, and not on any kind of behavior or language that could be construed as disrespectful or slanderous. Ms. Kirk had some very important things to say to the board at the last meeting based on her personal experience, and I appreciated her taking the time to do so.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to remember that, that courtesy goes both ways. So we thank Stephanie for calling in. Matt has also called us on the live line. Matt, I'm quickly running out of time here with Supervisor Scott. What's your comment, please?
Yeah, Supervisor, I was just going to make a small comment that I am concerned that Southern Arizona has got to stay engaged with this, both the state legislature, the governor's office, but also with the other agencies, whether it be the Arizona Corporations Commission, the Water Infrastructure Finance Board, there's a numerous boards that we just seem to not be paying attention to. I would like to compliment the city's representative on that board, Tim Tamer, because he we hadn't had him, it was clear that they were going to cut Southern Arizona out of even one person serving on a very important committee that's going to oversee a lot of funding. I got to say, we've got to stay engaged. They just don't seem to pay attention to Southern Arizona. And I just want to thank you all. Bye.
Thank you, Matt. Go ahead, Supervisor.
Well, you mentioned in your introduction, Bill, that I am a member of the Executive Committee of the County Supervisors Association. That is an organization that all supervisors in the state are members of, and we have a staff that advises us on legislation and other matters that are going through state government that have a direct impact on counties. And something I would say in response to Matt's comments is that members of the County Supervisors Association have been encouraged to contact Governor Hobbs's office to let them know that we think it's important for county officials to be members of this water working group that she's putting together. I also wanted to point out that the board authorized the creation of a water working group within Pima County. The county is not a water provider, as most people know, but there are certainly policy matters that we can take up that help with regard to conservation and protection of our groundwater resources.
All right, let's see if we can get quickly one more topic in. There'll be new parks and recreation fees that were approved this week.
That's true, Bill. There was a 14-month process that the Natural Resources, Parks, and Recreation Department went through with both public input and input from the board. They haven't asked the board for an increase in fees for 14 years. We did pass those increased fees on Tuesday. And one of the things that I was appreciative of is, number one, all fee revenue, not just the revenue from the increases, but all fee revenue is going to go back into the department to enhance their programs and facilities. And I was also grateful that we were able to make some changes based on public input and input from me and my colleagues to make the impact of these increases less onerous on low-income families in our community.
You had a very robust discussion, you and your colleagues, about future agendas. Is there any takeaway that you would like to share with our listeners quickly?
I think the main takeaway from that conversation, Bill, is that we want the ability as supervisors to put things on the agenda that come to us from our constituents, but we also have an assurance from the county attorney's office that they will make sure that we're staying within the bounds of both board policy and the state's open meeting law. And I feel like the board got those assurances during our discussion on Tuesday, and we're going to be able to move forward with confidence.
And again, constituent services, where can people contact you if they live in the District 1 area, which is pretty much the foothills and some other areas? Where can they reach you?
Well, they can email us at District 1, that's the number 1, at pima.gov, or they can call our office at 724-2738. My staff and I are always eager to hear from our constituents with their problems, concerns, or complaints, and we have a 24-hour turnaround policy, and we usually exceed that expectation.
All right. The vice chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Rex Scott. Have a great rest of the day, and I hope you have a very enjoyable weekend as well. Thank you.
Same to you, Bill, and happy Valentine's Day to you and Ann.
Thank you very much. Hope you have a great Valentine's Day as well. All right. Coming up next, an update from Dr. Trujillo. Gabriel Trujillo at Tucson Unified, update on that situation with their computers right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for Marketplace Trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery on a beautiful 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road, and their sister business also on-site, Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. The website's Green Things in their 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews, of which today is telephonically heavy. So we're going to do one right now, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. To the live line we go. And the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, how is your day going so far?
Well, so far so good, Bill. It's great to be back with you, albeit on the live line this month. We had a nice little run of in-studio visits, but schedule got a little jammed up today, so I'm happy to be with you on the live line.
And you've been all over the news, and rightly so. You're being as transparent as you can over the last, I don't know, are we close to the 2-week anniversary of the now infamous ransom attack on Tucson Unified?
Yes, Monday, February 13th, will be the official 2-week mark from the time that we sustained a pretty extensive ransomware attack on the district. And I'll say the initial 48 or 72 hours were probably the most frustrating. We were not yet sure of the extent to which these cyber terrorists were able to steal or confiscate information from the district's networks. We weren't sure what points of information would tip these criminals off. We were very limited in what we could communicate to the public. Very frustrating. I'm happier now that we're in a better and a more transparent place.
Everything back up fairly close to normal?
Yeah, so we're proud to report that our major systems, and for our parents and our teachers listening, those systems are really three huge operational systems. Number one, the student informational management system called Synergy. That's really what allows parents to call in and report absences. It allows our teachers to get on electronically to take attendance, to do grades, to do progress reports, to take notes on parent phone calls when they meet with parents. That's the business of teachers and parents, and it's up and running. And secondly, our Outlook services, which allow all of our employees access to their email, internal communications, that's back up and running. And then, of course, Office 365. Those are all of our products from Excel to PowerPoint, Microsoft Teams, the business of collaboration and document and content creation in the district. Those three major systems are running full steam ahead, back up and running. Our other major system of workflow in the district is called Visions. That's up on a limited basis, and that's allowing us to make all of our deadlines for issuing paychecks, making sure we pay all of our employees, and that, of course, we pay all of our vendors that provide operational services to the district. And thankfully, our transportation software is up and running, which, of course, allow all of our buses to run on time each and every day. So we're back pretty much full strength at this point.
Well, of course, employees want to make sure they get paid. That's important. And so is this issue about people hoping that their personal information, social security numbers and the like, were not compromised.
Yeah, and we can reassure folks there's very good news and a little bit of bad news. So the good news is we have engaged and have been working with throughout the last 2 weeks an elite, very talented group of counter hackers. I think I've been describing this team as the hackers of hackers. Very talented team coming in from Microsoft and Cisco. And they've been doing, and over the last 2 weeks, they've been doing a very detailed forensics audit on the attack of just about every machine in the district, whether it's a desktop computer or a printer. And they've been able to verify that as of this date, these hackers, they don't see any footprint. They don't see any evidence that they were able to steal, confiscate, or copy any confidential student or employee-related data or confidential information from our major network databases in those systems that I talked about. Visions, that would be where we house all of our employee social security numbers or banking information. And then Synergy for the students. That's where we house all of our demographic data, birth certificates, grades, attendance. So all of that is safe. None of that information was replicated or stolen or taken from those networks. The bad news is, and what we've been informed of, is information that employees may have saved to just their personal desktop computers or laptops and didn't save to our central district network, that data is probably susceptible. There is an opportunity for that data to have been taken from these hackers. Many times our employees will, just to save time, they might scan a copy of their driver's license or their passport. They're trying to save time. They're trying to get online to renew a teacher certification or a clearance card, and they forget to delete that image from their personal desktop. And you either have to delete that image and get rid of it or save it to the district network where it's more secure.
Yeah.
And obviously the district network, like I said, these hackers weren't able to get information from our major databases. But if these documents were just there on employee desktop computers, unfortunately, they could have been compromised. Now, at this moment, the cybersecurity experts that we're working with have not seen any kind of personal employee information leaked to the dark web or any other spot on the World Wide Web. So we'll continue to monitor that situation on a daily basis.
All right. Kathleen has called us. I think she's got a question relating to the hack. Go ahead, Kathleen.
You know, I just wanted to ask Dr. Trujillo if he was going to do anything about the effects of the COVID mandates on these children, and if he's going to address any of the suicides of the TUSD students and the drug overdoses. You know, I like that he's addressing the hacking, but what about these kids' mental health? Because I don't think TUSD is doing enough,
okay.
And they haven't done enough.
Okay. Sort of off topic here, because I've got a couple more questions about the hack. But go ahead, just to answer Kathleen's question, which is very important. And Dr. Ravi Shah was with me in studio yesterday talking about how important the mental health piece is for students in the district. So go ahead, Dr. Trujillo.
Yeah, so number one, we're obviously in tune with the mental health issues and the need for behavioral health services throughout the district. We've got some great partnerships with Casa de los Niños. They provide additional social workers and counselors to the district. We are experiencing a staffing shortage, and I think a lot has to be said about the current labor market. When you don't have the applicant pool out there to go get the social workers and the counselors, and you've got every district in Arizona chasing the same social workers and counselors, it's tough to fill all of the vacancies. So nobody's arguing the need. And I think the caller is preaching to the choir. Yes, there's a need. School districts in general we're not equipped as we should be to be dealing with the mental health and the behavioral health issues of the students. The role of the public school, we're hearing contradictory messages. The state superintendent, Tom Horn, actually disagrees with this caller. He says that we have too many social workers and counselors, and that talking about feelings and emotional health actually have no place in schools, and it should just be straight reading, writing, and math. The legislature apparently agrees because we haven't been provided with the funding that we need to prioritize these services to students. With what funding we have, I think we have a great infrastructure. I think we have great counselors throughout the district. But every vacancy that we have, it's just tough to get the applicants. So thank you for the caller. She's not alone. A lot of us share that same opinion.
Thank you, Catherine, for the call. All right. I do have a couple more quick questions. Why don't we'll hold off on talking about Silver City until I finish with the hack story. So, and Dr. Ravi Shah, the president of TUSD, the board, was with me for the first time live in studio, and it was good to have him here in studio yesterday. And he was saying that luckily the district had pretty darn good insurance for this hack. Would you like to comment on that, please?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're insured by the best in the business. Free plug here for the Arizona Risk and Retention Trust. They are one of the major insurance carriers for school districts in the state of Arizona. And they have just been like a godsend. They've been very responsive. They've been very customer service oriented. They were the first people on the ground with us, figuring out the types of services and remediation efforts that would be needed. We have a very robust policy with them that at this time has absolutely nothing coming out of TUSD's pocket for the remediation efforts and the recovery efforts and the teams that have been engaged and the expert cyber terrorism attorneys that have been assigned to us by the trust. Unfortunately, though, the upgrades and the structural add-ons that we're going to need to add to our system to prevent future attacks, that is going to be all of us on our own, and unfortunately not necessarily covered by insurance. So capital upgrades to our current security capacity, cybersecurity-wise, we're going to have to bear those costs alone. But the response to the attack and the recovery from the attack, proudly being covered by the trust at this time.
And law enforcement has gotten pretty sophisticated on this, and they're able to pretty much pinpoint who the bad players are in this particular case.
Yeah, the cyber terrorists in this case, unfortunately for TUSD, as we've been informed by law enforcement, they're one of probably the top five most dangerous and skilled. And that's a pretty bad combination, Bill. To be dangerous and highly skilled is bad news for TUSD, but we just happened to get hit by one of the most elite hacking organizations in the world. They have been using these types of ransomware attacks on hospitals, colleges, and other school districts across the U.S. Unfortunately, a school district got hit in Nantucket right around the same time that we did. So I think that they unfortunately were probably part of the same batch of attacks that went out across the U.S. This is most likely an international effort that is being coordinated outside of the borders of the United States and clearly aimed at just causing chaos, making money, and destabilizing life at the most local level, the All point right. of the public school system.
See if we can work in, Stephanie. We are really past the break, but don't want to keep Stephanie, who called the live line, waiting, and it is on topic about the hack. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thank you for allowing me on again. I want to speak about the hacking and how easy it is to get in to our security systems that we have at schools, as well as voting. And they're talking about doing a keyless entry system with the $480 million. And as a parent to children, the technology of IT, I am completely concerned with doing keyless entry systems, because what happens when somebody hacks that?
Okay, what happens when somebody hacks the keyless system? Go ahead, Dr. Trujillo.
Well, fortunately, in this particular instance, the keyless entry systems across the district were unaffected. They weren't connected to the network. And the only way, Stephanie, that the district can minimize the possibility of being attacked again in the future is we're going to have to move every single system of operation from our student attendance system to our Visions workflow for paying folks. Every single computer system that we have that is put into play to operationalize the district has to run in the cloud. Every system that we have that is tied to good old-fashioned land-based computer servers leaves us susceptible to these types of attacks. And currently, TUSD, we're about 50% of our major operational systems. I'll give you a good example. Office 365, our Microsoft product for all of our emails and saving documents, all of that is housed in the cloud. And we're going to have to move all of our computer systems to the cloud to be able to maximize our defense against these times of attacks in the future. Total cost on that comes down to money. It's probably going to be close to $4 million to do that.
Wow. Okay. Take a break right here. A few final thoughts with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we have Sheriff Chris Nanos with me in studio for our Friday Focus interview. Right now I want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. The temperatures, they're having some great weather over there. I mean, temperatures around 60 degrees, well, mid-50s to 60s, for doing some hiking. Their website is Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, and there you will find out about all the outstanding activities over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Also, great places to stay and places to dine as well. All right, let's go back now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Final moments of our conversation with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Is there an update from Phoenix, Dr. Trujillo, on money that will be going to the school districts that the district's been waiting to put officially into the budget?
Yeah, some good news coming out of the Capitol yesterday. Obviously, the aggregate expenditure limit has been lifted for another school year. It's bittersweet because it does allow us to focus on the business of teaching and learning, finishing out the school year with the budget that has been approved and the funds that have been given to us by the legislature. But it really also means that in another 3 or 4 months, we're going to have to be stressed about this issue again. because the cap has only been lifted for this year. So the roller coaster will begin again, okay, in a few months as we start worrying about the aggregate expenditure limit for the 23-24 school year.
Again, it was a pleasure having the president of the TUSD governing board on the show yesterday, and he says that academic achievement is Dr. Ravi Shah, one of his big issues, and he's pleased the way the district is moving, with some schools jumping several letter grades, Dr. Trujillo.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the community that either don't know or just don't want to give the district any kind of credit for whatever reason, for progress or improvements made. But it is undeniable. The bounce back and the recovery from the pandemic has been very, very significant for TUSD. Almost half of the district improving letter grades by an entire letter grade, many schools going up two letter grades. We had one McGee Middle School go up three letter grades. And that means the predominant majority of TUSD students show dramatic improvements in reading, writing, and math coming out of the pandemic. But we've got to maintain the momentum, because to show improvement and to show growth is part of the letter grade formula and probably the main reason we saw a lot of jumps. But the other part of the letter grade equation is the percentage of students that you have passing the tests with proficiency in reading and math. And that's going to be the next mountain to climb, and the continuous mountain is obviously we want 100% of our students demonstrating proficiency on the state assessment. So the challenge continues, the work continues, and we're excited about testing season coming up this April, giving our TUSD kids an opportunity to show the state what they can do.
And it is frustrating, isn't it, for you and the team that there is kind of this narrative that, oh, you can't get a good education, basically, in the Tucson Unified District.
It's very frustrating, especially when the metrics are so easy to see. We have one of the largest gifted and talented populations in the state of Arizona. We have thousands of families that turn charters and privates down because they want to come to TUSD for some of these programs. We have over 7,000 students that take award-winning career and technical education programs, from welding to veterinary science to robotics to diesel repair. We have one of the most robust fine and visual and performance arts programs in the state. It's won award after award. We have just hundreds, if not thousands of students that are involved in AP, advanced placement courses, or gifted and talented education, or accelerated learning opportunities throughout the district. And these are all metrics that are very easily identifiable. But unfortunately, there's a segment of the community that chooses to focus on the TUSD of 20 or 30 years ago that may have not done everything right in or outside of the desegregation case, and just can't let that narrative go. And that's unfortunate.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, I know you'll be watching the Super Bowl. Who are you pulling for?
Oh, as a rule of thumb, I cheer for no team outside of my Arizona Cardinals. So I'm just looking for a good game.
All right.
But I'll cheer for an entertaining game. How's that?
Me too. All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Be with you in about 23 hours with Sheriff Chris Nanos and Dan Shear, the Green Valley News. Have a great afternoon.